My name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are so glad that you are here this morning. We are looking for an honest look at ourselves here. This is part of what the church is about, is having an honest look at the human condition. So we are going to the early chapters of the Bible, starting off with Genesis 2:25, and we're going to be in Genesis 3 this morning, and also looking at Romans 5. If you got a Bible, you can open it up. I'm going to read to you this one verse before we go forward. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. They were both naked and they felt no shame. This is a startling statement and an amazing statement. It is not only about being comfortable with your body, it's about being comfortable with your soul. And it's about them being in each other's presence, being fully seen, and being at peace. And being in God's presence and being at peace. Now, there is a tragic turn in this story, and there's a reversal that happens. And it's not only for this account of Adam and Eve, but it's for our account in life. So let me read Genesis 3. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me, who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." The Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, you're cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Then he said to the woman, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." And to the man he said, "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you'll struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you are made from dust, and to dust you will return." This is the word of the Lord. This is God's word directing our lives. This is not a story that leaves us in the happy ending. No. There's a lot that we take from this account. It's a story of origins. It's a story, like we said, that speaks profoundly into our human condition. So we see this great reversal, this absolute comfort in the presence of others, in the presence of God, in the presence of creation, in the presence of oneself, naked and unashamed, to this movement of the fallenness of the human condition, of being naked and ashamed, afraid and hiding. What we draw out from this is that, like Adam and Eve, we too hide and blame because of our sinful condition. We're trying to be honest here. There's hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to get to this. But this, in order to have hope in Christ, you have to acknowledge that you're broken. Now, I don't know how much this whole thing of church and reading the Bible is familiar to you, but we stand on the Bible as God directs our lives, gives us information about our souls, about eternity, about our human condition, about God's presence in our lives. He gives us a view that we can't get from where we stand. It's an elevation point to be able to see things from God's perspective, something that all of philosophy recognizes the limitations of human knowledge. And here's a story pursuing human knowledge at all costs. There's a lot the serpent didn't tell Adam and Eve. He promises that were true, but only half true, that led to utter devastation in their lives, that lead to utter devastation in all of humanity. So let's look at the serpent's engagement. So there's this serpent. It doesn't name the serpent, but as the story of the scriptures unfold throughout history, Satan and the serpent are linked. This is the opposite of the incredible incarnation of God that we celebrate every year at Christmas, God coming in down to earth and revealing himself and incarnating human flesh and the presence of God being known. This is the opposite. This is evil incarnate. And Satan does not reflect the image of God. Satan goes into a serpent and casts a shadow of doubt on God's character. So we see verse 1, there's the serpent comes in. Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Well, and then Eve engages, well, of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. It's only the one tree. And interestingly, as we see in the previous chapter, it was only the tree of knowledge of good and evil that they weren't allowed to eat from, not the tree of life. There wasn't any command on that. You can see that in chapter 2, verse 16. So it's only that tree. And then Satan again cast doubt. Oh, that won't happen. You won't die. Which was true. She didn't die in that moment. But ultimately, there was a lot of dying. There was a physical death that happened. There is a spiritual death, a spiritual alienation, a death of closeness that happened. The woman was convinced. She goes along with Satan's plan. And what happens in her life? There's two big feelings that get revealed that come into her life. Fear and shame. And those are the big ones, aren't they? Now, what's interesting is you set me aside to be studying this passage this week, is as you look a little closer, you may not pick this up in first read, but throughout the story, God is referred to by his covenant name, his relationship name, the Lord God, his personal name, this Yahweh, I am who I am. Satan doesn't use the specific name of God. He goes general. Hey, I think we see that in society a lot of times. Hey, well, we don't want to talk about God revealing himself as Jesus. Let's just keep God out there and unknown. And do you see what happens in the woman? She actually picks up Satan's cue, and she goes from the personal covenant relationship name, and she starts using God general. You see that in her language. So God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you'll die. She doesn't refer to him as the Lord God. But then it refers later that they hid from the Lord God. And in her life is shame. What's shame? Shame is this feeling of unworthiness. I'm not worthy. And therefore, we want to hide. We want to cover up. This is the human condition of feeling exposed, right? That's such a linking of nakedness, is being exposed. Yet in the presence of God, we can be exposed because he is good. And yet in our sinful brokenness, we're not comfortable with that anymore. There is a hiding that takes place and a fear. What we need to do in life is we need to prioritize God's voice above all other voices. And it's a very specific voice of the Lord God, of Jesus Christ, revealed through the scriptures, revealed through the Holy Spirit. We've been talking this fall about the series, Why Can't I Change? And looking beneath the surface, and there's this beautiful iceberg on the cover of your bulletin that captures that there's a whole lot more in our lives going on beneath the surface than just what's seen at the top. And that's where this passage reflects our human condition. So last week we talked about if we really truly want to change, we have to be open to the Spirit's leading. That the Spirit of God, as we invite God into our lives, if you've done that through accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you gain wonderfully, incredibly, this resource. God coming into your life, and the Spirit speaks. He speaks about what's wrong. He convicts us, and we need to listen to that feeling, that thought. And he speaks of what's right, and we got to aim for that. And he speaks of false judgment about who he is in this world. And he speaks and he convicts what's not true in this world. False judgment. So this morning, we're looking at another huge principle for change. Adding to the voice of God, listening to the Spirit, is laying down our hiding and our blaming. And we see this is deeply rooted. In the best of us. I heard about two police stories this week. A symbol of our best, standing to protect our society. Well, the story went like this. There's not local RCMP, but the supervisor was talking about the police officer who was in charge of the investigation didn't adequately prepare to show up on time. And there was this drug bust that needed to happen, and the guy was going to get away, and they needed to move in quick. And the one in charge wasn't there, so this police officer who was higher up said, well, I have to make the call. We have to go in. They did it, and as that's happening, they're taking care of business. The guy in charge comes, who's supposed to be there leading his team, and he's just kind of around, and he's not doing what he's supposed to do. So he comes in and he starts berating the junior officers. There's this blaming going on of how could you possibly move when I didn't give the go ahead? You should never have done this. And then this officer higher up recalled with great sadness of how he talked to this officer in charge both of them followers of Jesus, and the one officer in charge would not accept any responsibility. He was hiding and he was blaming. And this, the higher up one who was supervising this officer was just saying, what can I do with this guy? He won't change. I have to move on. There's no input I can give into his life. And he's a follower of Jesus. We're supposed to be people who reflect God's image, and here he's blaming and he's hiding. And I think we can go, that's what's wrong with the RCMP, or that's what's wrong with people, right? The sad story is this Adam and Eve story is a story of our lives too. And it says that it's not out there, that human condition's not out there, it's in here, it's in me, it's in you. And we are frequently tempted to blame others. See who you put here with me, God? It's not my fault, it's her fault, it's your fault, it ain't my fault. So let's get honest with ourselves. Who are you blaming and hiding from in your situation? Is it your parents' fault? Is it your husband's fault, your wife's fault, your girlfriend's fault, your lack of girlfriend's fault? We just need to, what that police officer needed to do was he needed to own it, that he had messed up. And he would have been forgiven. He did make a mistake, but in order, he was called to learn from it, and he didn't. He was called to be seen and be counted as for his broken condition and to grow through it. And really, that's us as well. There was this opportunity Adam had to say, I gotta own this. I heard the instructions. This is on me, to take ownership. To say, I'm with you, Eve. And ultimately, what did Jesus come for when he came revealing the kingdom of God? What was the short phrase boiling it all down? Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent of doing wrong, of your broken condition, of living as if God doesn't exist, for blaming and hiding. Put your faith in me, because God is here. He is now, and his kingdom is moving in. It's not fully arrived. Heaven is not fully joined with heaven and earth that we know is going to happen as we read the unfolding revelation of God and what's going to happen. But we know it's come in. It's breaking in. And God's people who give their lives to him are to incarnate his presence, not being defined by shame or fear or hiding and blaming, but by truth and honesty of recognizing our brokenness, God's goodness, giving him glory, and then letting his spirit be at work, his presence filling our lives and us doing the work of the kingdom. How good is someone who's hiding to help someone who else is hiding? Just picture two lives. You're in a coffee shop, you're in a home, you're both hiding. How much help is the one person to the other person? What? It's the person who comes out, who recognizes what's true, who's real about themselves, that helps the other person, going, wow, that took courage. Yeah, I can see your brokenness, but man, I guess that means mine's seen too. It's the one who's not blaming. If you just picture a coffee shop conversation and just, yeah, this is what's wrong with the world. Yeah, I know, it's all these people's fault. It's the government, it's taxes, it's my neighbor, it's my family. like they're not really much good for each other, are they? You just get more and more worked up. It's versus the owning, you're part of the problem. That takes humility. We're going to read the from Romans 5. It speaks into this passage. Romans 5, 12 and following. Adam's sin. Sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who is yet to come. But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Stop there. This one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin, not in condemnation over sin. There is a trajectory of restoration, of reconciliation, and it's through one man, Jesus Christ. It's not any old way. It's not whatever you believe. It's not whatever's right for you. The one way for your soul to be made right with God is through embracing his plan, his son. Because when this happened, there was a plan in place to bring reconciliation. We read how God had a plan to bring restoration. It's hard to even comprehend how God knew this was all going to happen, and he had this plan of sending his son all along. It's like he knows how to care for us even in ways that we can't even comprehend. It's through his son that we're made right with God, to bring back this place where we're comfortable in our human condition. If you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus, there's two options. First option is hypocrisy, which we're often accused for saying you got it all together and not living it out. Yeah, I got it all together. I did everything right. Hiding, blaming, hypocrisy. The other option is straight out honesty. I'm a broken person who doesn't have it all together, but I know the one who does. And my faith is in that person, Jesus Christ. The only one who got a hole in one every time when it came to life. My faith is in him, not in me. And we talked about change. How does change take place? So if you can get a hold of this, if you're known for someone who's being honest about your brokenness, thinking of others more than yourselves, empathy, putting yourself in others' shoes, humility, not blaming and hiding, that is a trajectory for change. And this, the Christian gospel is the means to embrace that change. To embrace grace recognizes our sin. It's not really something fancy I need to tell you. I think we all know this, don't we? It's a whole different thing to live it out, though. So this fall, here's the invitation in. to be in Christian community that is centered on God, that talks about the real things of God, where we don't stay at surface level. Oh, it's so easy, isn't it? In life group, you could be a part of the same life group for 20 years and not let anybody underneath the surface. The utter honesty of your brokenness. Because that's the trajectory that's supposed to happen. Is as we expose ourselves to God and to his church, there's supposed to be a trust where we can reveal our broken condition before each other. And yeah, there is a trust of relationships that happens. But as we're honest about ourselves, that's how we can change. So here's the invitation in for adults, an invitation to be a part of a community, a life group that travels or that spends some time together in life together, looking at the truth found in the scriptures. Well, a big part of our vision is we disciple and equip each other using God's word as our foundation. That's going to happen in life groups. Second invitation is this new ministry freedom session. I was just with Carmen Pavenin. Hey, there's Carmen in the back. Hi. We had a powerful day yesterday in Surrey getting training, equipping for this new ministry freedom session. And I can't tell you how excited I am about how this ministry is going to get at stuff in your life that you haven't been able to break through on. Because there's an utter honesty that happens. There's a looking in, there's a looking to God, there's a breaking through of God's power that happens in that ministry. But it's not for the faint of heart. We're doing it through this season together. There's a commitment of, yeah, I'm gonna be looking at the stuff in my life. So we have more information about Freedom Session Ministry on our website. Just click on the Freedom Session link. We've got to sign up here. The invitation is to go deep in Christian community. If you're a student, it's about, hey, be a part of Ignite, Illuminate, Shine, Planet Preteen. If you're a parent, yes, we have this invitation to not just say, oh, this is for my kid, but to say that I'm in with what's happening in my child's life and let's work together in giving glory to God through what's going to be taking place in the year ahead. What's God been speaking to you about here this morning? Is this a out there for somebody else? I didn't get anything out of this morning. Or have you been submitting to the Spirit speaking to the Word, recognizing blaming and hiding is part of the broken condition? So is shame and fear. That means the opposite is to come out, be honest, to give glory to God. And that means that there's going to be a whole replacement of shame and fear. It's going to be replaced with worthiness and peace. This is the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. Do you have that sense of, yeah, God's peace permeates my life? I know how worthy I am. That when I go into new situations or familiar situations, I know of my identity in Christ. That I'm made worthy no matter what happens, no matter what my mom has to say, no matter what happens at school, no matter what somebody says about my work, I'm worthy with God and the rest doesn't matter. I'm gonna do my best to glorify him through the life I live, through using who he's made me to be, but I know that I'm worthy. I rest in my identity in Christ and what he's done. And that, there's no better gift than that. And the peace that comes from embracing the grace shown to us, fully expressed on the cross, and a triumphant Christ who didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay dead. He resurrected. The first of those, his followers, who also will be resurrected. And God's good call on our lives is not just for eternity. It begins now. Jesus said, I came for life to the fullest. Are you full of the Spirit? Is there some sin in your life that needs to be dealt with this morning? Is there some new patterns that need to change? We know that we can't do it on our own. It has to be God at work in us. He's the great transformer. So let's come before him this morning. I'm just going to give 30 seconds of silence for us to be praying, connecting with him about what we've heard in his word this morning. Let's pray. God, it hurts to be naked and ashamed before you. It hurts. We recognize that's not the way it's supposed to be. We know this in our hearts, that things aren't the way they're supposed to be. And instead of trying to fix them on our own, Lord, we know we got to turn to you. I know that I need to confess for the ways that I've built my identity on how I perform. I need to confess ways that I've harbored sin in my heart, in actions. We can't hide. We can't hide from you. It's as ridiculous as Adam and Eve hiding with fig leaves to cover up their nakedness. It's ridiculous. We can't hide from you. We know we're exposed, but the amazingness, the truth of the gospel is that we can call you Lord God. It's a personal relationship. It's a covenant. And it's one that you've gone to great lengths to show your love. Unfathomable lengths. And I know that you're pursuing each of us for the year ahead to lay down our hiding and our blaming, that we don't need our shame or our fear, that you want to sow in an honesty, a truthfulness, a closeness with you, with others, within ourselves, with creation. So God, we ask you bring these next levels of change. God, we're here to connect with you. We're here to hear from you. We're here to glorify you. Give us peace and wisdom. But what you're calling us to be comfortable with who you've made us to be. Is it an invitation into a next level of growth in life groups, in freedom session, participation in a men's ministry, a women's ministry, to serve in a new way in this church, to say, I'm here, Lord, use these hands. A next step in thinking about others, whether those I work with or those I parent or those who've parented me. God, we thank you for your amazing good gift. We recognize it's not in our works that we change. It's in you. It's in finding our whole being in you and accepting and receiving your good gifts through your Son, through your Spirit, through your Word, through your church. We delight in you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's respond in praise and worship for one final song before we go.